Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My pleasure to be part of your day, as always. We got some good stuff lined up for you straight ahead with our good buddy Chad Moutray, Chief Economist at the SBA's Office of Advocacy, and you know who those guys are. They're the folks that I tell you about all the time. I'm always quoting their numbers, the statistics, that and the research that Chad does over there. He's the brainiac, and they're the guy who gets all mathy on us over there at the Office of Advocacy at the SBA, and he's our good friend Chad. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's always great to be back on the show.
It's good to have you back, as always, and we like it. We actually like it when you get all mathy on us, Chad.
You like the numbers, huh?
Well, we like, yeah. Well, you know, you've always, well, I know you just report what you find.
That's
what
true.
Finding is more and more good news for small business, isn't it?
That's good. I mean, we continue to find that small businesses can generate the jobs that are making the economy grow, which is good. You know,
yeah.
Just last Friday, the unemployment rate was 4.5%, one of the lowest we've seen in quite some time, at least since the 2001, so.
And Kiplinger projects that the economy will create another 1.6 million jobs next year.
That would be just about around the same numbers that they had this year, which would be pretty good.
Pretty
that
darn good.
That means we've had a pretty long expansion, all things considered.
Well, and the thing is, it's another reason why I think that it's hard for me to imagine that we're not going to have a pretty decent 2007. When you've got that many people who are expecting to hire people, I mean, to me, employment is an excellent sign of the strength of an economy, isn't it?
That's true. I mean, certainly, though, the employment growth this year is a little bit less than last year. And I think moving forward, though, the bigger issue than unemployment really is the tight labor markets that we're going to be experiencing in the next couple of years as more and more of the baby boomers retire. And that's going to put an awful lot of strain on small business owners because, you know,
yeah.
We know from our research that, you know, small business owners are really hurting when it comes to trying to provide the benefits that a lot of the larger counterparts have to offer.
All the research that I hear, that you do and others that I know do, people, folks at the NFIB and my friends at Tatum and other people who do the research, and my own anecdotal research that I do around the country when I'm talking to small business owners in my work and as I travel around speaking to groups and meeting small business owners, the single greatest challenge that small business owners have today, even though health care and providing benefits is high on the list, it's not number one. Mm. Number one today is finding and keeping qualified people for the jobs that have to be done.
That's true. I mean, everywhere I go, that's one of the things that people suggest. And, you know, I don't know whether it's a function of our educational system. I guess I won't get into that rant. But it also is just simply a matter of, you know, we're entering a tight labor market. And in some industries, you know, we've already seen some crunches, you know, in the technology
right.
sector, the biotech
right.
sector. Nursing has long had a shortage.
Yep.
And so in those areas, you're going to have some salary issues and benefit issues when you're competing, especially against larger businesses.
Well, you know, Chad, you were talking about this is a challenge we're going to have for the next couple of years, and I know you meant that couple of in the broadest terms because you and I know that we're talking about a generation situation here, not a year or two.
What I meant to say was that's when it'll start.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, even in the federal government, which you don't think of as being entrepreneurial, they're really trying
and,
to
and
be
with
proactive.
and with just cause.
Yeah, and they're trying to be proactive, realizing that you know a large percentage of the people who work for the federal government are going to be retiring in the next couple of years, and so who is going to replace those jobs? And so I think this is something that all businesses, large and small, and even government are considering.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it actually, you know, makes it becomes part of the whole immigration debate too, doesn't it?
It does, because it's a matter, particularly if your crunch is in technology, you need to know how many of those people, you know, from India and other countries that you can bring in, and that's the visa issue that you continue to hear about.
That's right. And of course, and for small businesses, the average small business out there, the good news for us in terms of finding people to do the job is that we are able to use technology for a lot of the jobs that we used to need people for. And we've now can focus our payroll on, you know, on the higher level tasks, can't we?
That's true.
Yeah. Stand by, Chad. We're going to take – hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, Chad's going to give us some more information on how small business is doing these days. The Small Business Economy for Data Year 2005 is out. That's a cure for insomnia there. But truthfully, if you like small business, it's good reading. He's going to give us some more information about that when we come back after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Life is a gamble.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Chad Moutre, chief economist for the SBA's Office of Advocacy. And the new publication that he's recently released is the 2005 information on small business economy, how our small businesses doing through the end of the year 2005. Chad, you had a couple of chapters in your report that were especially interesting. Tell us about those.
You know, one of my goals, as long as I've been chief economist, is to try to improve the small business economy book. And we've tried asking a lot of guest contributors to contribute. If you remember last year, William Baumol, an economist, wrote about the importance of innovation. Well, this year
you've never asked me to contribute.
Well, next year maybe we'll have to ask you to contribute. but this year we had someone's contributed a chapter on economic gardening, which I'll talk about, and then another.
Whoa! Economic gardening.
Economic gardening. This is basically if you've ever heard of Chris Gibbons, he's the economic development guy in Littleton, Colorado.
Yeah.
And it's really a debate between economic gardening versus economic hunting. And I had never heard of this phrase either, but economic gardening is, if you're an economic development guru, you want to go out and you want to try to attract as many entrepreneurs into your region as possible and try to take the small businesses that are there and give them some services and give them some benefits so that
they continue to grow.
And actually they go out and try to target those fast-growing companies.
Right.
Well, the opposite of that would be economic hunting, and that's what you often hear about in the press where, you know, they go out and they try to lure a large company into their area. And then once they get them with their tax benefits, then they go out there.
I had never heard those two terms used like that. But I actually have talked about those things before, and I'll tell you, in the 21st century, the gardening is the future and the hunting is the past.
You know, the problem with hunting is it's a zero sum game. You know, some people win, some people lose, and in some regions, what Chris Gibbons in Littleton, Colorado found is, you know, his chance at luring a large business into Littleton, Colorado was pretty minimal.
Right.
He was going to have a much greater investment if he invested in the companies that were already there and trying to set up a business environment that actually, you know, promoted entrepreneurship than he would by just trying to dangle out these tax incentives out there. And so in his case, he thought gardening was a much better opportunity for his particular region, and it paid off. Littleton, Colorado has grown pretty substantially since they started this, actually in the late 80s. And when they started this, you know, small businesses, you know, it wasn't quite as obvious as it is now that small businesses were the job generators.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of cutting edge. And this chapter actually spawned from a summit that we had with the Edward Lowe Foundation in November 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it so interesting that I wanted to actually commission a chapter just to kind of have something tangible that resulted from that. So,
all right.
Hopefully it continues the conversation of the importance of small businesses and economic development.
Well, you know, I know you're familiar with the Global Economic Monitor. I'm sorry, the Global Entrepreneurial Monitor by Babson College and their partners.
That's true.
And year after year after year since 1999, when the inaugural report came out, the research shows that the countries where this is an international study, it is global.
Mm-hmm.
The statistics show that where the entrepreneurial soil is fertile, the economy is strong.
There's a similar study from the World Bank that actually looks at the startup times it takes to start up a business,
yeah,
and ranks in the U.S. versus a whole host of other countries. And those countries where the startup times are a lot shorter than others, those are the ones that have a lot of economic growth. And you've seen a lot of countries,
yeah,
look at that study and say, hey, we better do something this to reduce our administrative burdens. They do that, and their countries really have benefited in terms of entrepreneurship. So
in Europe, it takes about like 18 months to start a business.
Yes.
And in the United States, it takes about 36 minutes.
Yeah.
Now those are hyperbolic numbers, folks. But only just to show the difference. The numbers are not correct, but they're pretty close.
That's true. I mean, and I think people who realize that are trying to find ways to reduce that startup time.
Mm.
You know, reduce the paperwork, reduce the burdens that really are people who want to start up a business because they recognize that those are the ones that's who's going to grow your economy, not just some bureaucrat.
Well, in America, entrepreneurship is in our DNA.
We
actually have entrepreneurial genes. I'm convinced they're gonna discover that one day. What do you think?
I think that they will. I think that one of the things that when countries come here, because we have a lot of foreign visitors to the Small Business, mm-hmm, Administration, that's the one question that we get asked all the time: what makes your country so much more entrepreneurial than ours? And that's a tough thing to answer.
We don't have the baggage.
I think
we're a nation of mutts.
Well, I think it's also that we are a nation of entrepreneurs because, if you remember, we, except for the Native Americans, we all came here for something.
That's right.
We were all entrepreneurial when we moved here.
We're a Brunswick stew
of
people. We're this incredible bunch of mutts that we don't have 1,000 years of baggage.
Yes.
You know, none of us. We left the feudal system behind. That was one of the things that we were fighting. No more kings, no more feudal system, no more dominant church. And we came over here and we all came together. And there's something called hybrid vigor in genetics. Chad, I don't know if you know that term or not. But hybrid vigor is when you take one, for example, one breed of cow and breed it to another breed of cow, you get an offspring that's better than the parents, and it's called hybrid vigor.
I hadn't heard that phrase before.
And I think America is we're hybrids. We have the hybrid vigor. I don't think there's any question about it. When we come back, I'm going to ask Chad about some of the numbers of small business owners out there. How many are there out there? Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back.
At the mercy of an unrelenting force, so we stare into the emptiness and fall beneath the weight, circling the nexus in a fever dance with fate.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. It's free. No barrier to entry at all. Mr. Chad Moutre is our guest, our good friend, and he is Chief Economist at the SBA's Office of Advocacy, and we're talking about some of the research that he's been doing. And Chad, give us your website too, because I want my audience to know. I give them your website all the time, because there's a great place to. In fact, I get a lot of questions about things that you do, and I always, when I get email about that, I like giving your website because it's really kind of an easy one to remember. You have a lot of good information there. I'd like to tell my audience about it. Go ahead.
The website is www.sba.gov/advo.
That's right.
And if someone wants a copy of the Small Business Economy, just send me an email, and we'll make sure they get one.
And the ADVO stands for advocacy, so that's a good,
yeah,
way to remember it. And they can get it. They can ask you for a copy of the Small Business Economy for 2005,
yeah,
right?
That's right. It's in the public domain, and just send me an email, and we'll send you a hard copy of it.
All right. So go to
including you, Jim.
Okay. Thank you. You want to now? That can we find out? Can we click on the email from that location?
Yeah. It's just click on advocacy@sba.gov and ask for one.
Okay. Advocacy@sba.gov. All right.
Yeah.
Now, Chad, before we, I want to get into the education thing in a minute, but before we get into that, how many small businesses are there out there?
We have almost 26 million businesses in the United States. 99.7% of those are small, considered to be small by the SBA's definition.
So over 25 million businesses in America, but not all of them are employer businesses, are they?
Yeah, we have about 18 million non-employers. It's an astounding number, I think, when you think about it.
Which are home-based and sole proprietors and contractors, basically, right?
That's right. They just simply have a business out of their home, and other than the owners, it could be a husband and a wife, or well, other than the owners, they have no employees.
Is a realtor considered a small business owner?
I believe so, yeah. Particularly since so many realtors are independent contractors.
Right. Right. Okay.
And
a lot of these contractors don't even know they're small business owners, do they?
Well, they probably realize it kind of down deep because they have to fill out a Schedule C, but they don't think of themselves as being.
Yeah.
That's probably the way that you and I might think of them being.
Mm-hmm.
They do realize it because they're taking probably a home office deduction and that kind of stuff.
How many employees are work for small business owners in America?
Well, half of all employees work for a small business.
Right.
And half of our gross domestic product is accounted for by small
business. Right. Right. So how much is our employment base?
We'll document that again. What'd you say?
How much is our employment base? How many people? 150.
I don't have the number in front of me, but I believe
it's about 140, 150, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's about that's right.
So if you add the owners to the employees, it's about 100 million people, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite a few people.
A lot of folks in small business. Okay, let's talk about education. That's another thing that you focused on this year.
Well, you know, I used to be a business school dean, so I've always had a lot of pride in human capital and the importance of education. And we've never really looked at education too much in our office, but I wanted to do a chapter, which was really a white paper, talking about the importance of education to entrepreneurial success. Not just entrepreneurial programs necessarily, but actual education. And there's a very strong link between human capital and entrepreneurship. You know, entrepreneurs tend to have a little bit more education than non-entrepreneurs, for instance. And so with more education, you're more likely to be an entrepreneur, and you're more likely to be successful as an entrepreneur. And so we just wanted to do a chapter which simply documented that, so hopefully more people can do research on the importance of education. And it kind of also ties back to economic development, because if you have more education in your region, you're going to be more entrepreneurial.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of the keys to the future of success of our economy, is getting the future workers educated where they can do math and science and stuff like that. We need that kind of background. In general, how do you think we're doing, Chad?
Well, I think that we can always do more. I think that we really haven't done a lot to reform our education system. I don't want to get into a rant about that.
Yeah.
But I think overall we're doing pretty well.
Yeah. Well, there is a lot of stuff that can be done. And also, one of the things we've been working with, a lot of folks we've been working with lately, are entrepreneurial educators.
Mm-hmm.
And sometime you'll have to come back another time. We'll have to talk about that. But we've run out of time. Chad, give us that website one more time, please.
It's www.sba.gov/advo.
Yeah. Thanks, Chad, for being here. Say hi to Tom Sullivan for us.
Okay, thanks.
Chad Moutray, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. He's the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And I want to remind you, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.